Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground.
Ugly. Revere Radio Network, Tampa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Revere Radio Network. This show is called Nowhere to Run. My name is Chris. I'm happy to be here. I'm always happy to be here on the Revere Radio Network. I've got a lot to do today, an important show for you. Let's get right into it. First, I began the week with an email from Freeman about Dr. Deagle. And I encourage you to look at Dr. Deagle. I know a lot of people got this email. It was a mass mailer of sorts, spread around quite a bit about Dr. Deagle. I had never heard, well, I actually had heard of Dr. Deagle before and checked him out a little bit, but I never really looked into, you know, what he was about or what he talked about or anything. But anyway, it's a mind-blowing situation. It's like taking the red pill all over again, even if you've taken handfuls of red pills in your day. That he talks about a lot of things, corroborated a lot of things for me that I didn't think people were on the same page with, including a lot of the stuff about Arizona Wilder. But certainly, if you remember the last interview that we did here with Duncan O'Finian from Project, well, I guess he was in a number of different projects, offshoots of the MK Ultra thing, we postulated about how it could be that they were doing the trauma-based mind control in order to put some sort of evil entity in there, because as opposed to actually programming another personality, it was really trauma-based mind control and then doing some kind of, you know, whatever they do, a scientific method of implanting a spiritual entity of sorts. And that's how they can use them in different capacities and very high ups and stuff, because they're not relying on programming, they're relying on basically one of their guys in their team, you know. And so when they access that program, it's actually kind of accessing a spiritual entity. It makes a lot of things make sense, and it came about on the last show with Duncan O'Finian, although that show got terribly erased, and I was really upset about how I missed a good hour of that program, never made it to air. But that was a very interesting thing that came out of that. So that was interesting to hear Deagle talk about that. Also, he mentioned about the calcification of the pineal gland, which is what fluoride does, which is a direct attack on our spirit being, our spirit connection, the silver cord, as it's sometimes called. As Edgar Cayce has mentioned before, that he didn't mention that fluoride had anything to do with it, but he mentioned that the pineal gland was crucial in certain spiritual praying and meditation. Cayce was always quick to point out that meditation must be done by surrounding yourself with a Christ consciousness. It just was unsafe otherwise. I point that out. I point out both of those things just to show you that I think that Dr. Deagle is right on with a lot of the stuff. He will scare he'll just scare you to death. I mean, he is Dr. Doom. I mean, a lot of this stuff will really encourage you to go ahead and get prepared to run, because it's going to be worse than you ever thought. And I think this guy is a false prophet. Honestly, to be honest with you, I think that he's a false prophet. He calls himself a prophet, but that doesn't mean he's not right about a lot of this. He appears to be an insider. In fact, he claims that he was approached three times by the Pindar to join their side, to be basically the understudy to the Pindar. And the Pindar means literally the phallus of the dragon, so who I guess is doing a lot of the impregnating of the people. It's a long story. It goes into the Arizona Wilder thing. I don't know if a lot of you guys know about that, but I think there's a connection there, and apparently he does too. But anyway, I do think he's a false prophet, only because Now, I don't have any problem with prophets not being how I expected them, or, you know, I don't know what I would think a modern-day prophet would be like. He might very well be like Deagle, and I think that... But I do think that we do have a way to test him, and he isn't passing that one. And that is that, a few things, honestly. One, he denies the divinity of Christ, and that's the one thing that we need. I think that the interview with Joe Jordan, that humble guy, is the smoking gun of all this this stuff, and improves to... I'll go into that later and how that ties in, but another thing is that he is... using some very obviously wrong stuff to come to this end that Jesus wasn't a god. He was simply a great moral teacher and a prophet like himself, he claims. Well, first of all, what he uses about the Catholic Church turning Jesus into these different myths, and that they were the ones that turned him into a god, and before that he was just on his way to becoming a god. He was the way, but he wasn't the god, which, you know, in my opinion, is like not even reading the Bible. I mean, these people, I don't know, I wonder if they read John at all. You know, it was very clear cut there. But my point is, the business that he was using about Jesus being a recreation of all these ancient gods, like, you know, your Horuses and so on, purely debunkable. I mean, it's just flat wrong, and it takes a little digging, and I know that there's books filling your shelves about how Jesus was the same, you know, story as Krishna and Varishna and Quetzalcoatl and the list goes on, Horus and Dionysus and everything else. And I know that everybody believes that. I am totally aware that you have 10,000 books in your library saying that, but it's really easily debunkable, and it's debunkable with just looking at the text for yourself, not reading a book about the text, but just reading them. And I'll show you guys how to do that here in a second. It's really easy. But I mean, if he was a prophet, he wouldn't have made those seriously easy to find with just a little bit of research errors. And also, you know, you can, you know, anybody that says Jesus was a great moral teacher and a prophet, but not the Son of God. But, you know, it's like C.S. Lewis said, I'm going to quote him directly here. He said this in his book, Mere Christianity, which was a radio address first, but turned into a book, extremely brilliant work of nonfiction by C.S. Lewis. And he says here, referring to Jesus, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claims to be God. This is the one thing that we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would be either a lunatic on the level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not to come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. And that was C.S. Lewis from Mere Christianity. And just as a show note, I will put a link on the nowheretorun.podomatic site. It's nowheretorun.podomatic.com. On the show notes, I'll put a link to a forum post at the Above Top Secret Forum. I posted this a lot of different places, but it's basically the write-up that I did concerning a lot of the debunkers trying to say Jesus was like this God or that God. And it's so easy to debunk, it kills me to hear people talk about it, because it's like, you didn't do any research, did you? You just read The Big Secret, or you just read the book your church doesn't want you to read by Tim Leadham, which, by the way, is the guy who proposed this idea of Varishna, which is literally totally unsubstantiated. But it circles the conspiracy world like a deadly virus, because they want it. There's a lot of people that want desperately this information because it fits in with their dogma. That's why people in the fact-checking world of conspiracy truth movement, patriot movement, people eat this up and get burned by it, because they want it. It fits in with their belief about God and dogma and the world and everything. So they stop checking their facts when it comes to religion. And that's what inspired me to write this write-up that I'm going to give you a link to at the Nowhere to Run.podomatic site is, well, actually, Dire Wolf, it was a few weeks ago. He's a host on the Revere Radio Network, and he always talks about that, and he'll mention about, oh, wow, Quetzalcoatl was just like this, and it's so obvious and everything. It's like, man, I got the biggest secret too, you know? I read it also, but it doesn't add up to research, and then, you know, I had that in the back of my mind, and I had it on my to-do list to write up just to show people that it's not true, just for the sake of integrity of information. But anyway, what actually did it was MySpace.com. If you don't know, I have a lot of, on the conspiracy closed MySpace, I have a lot of friends that are, you know, in the conspiracy world. And so it's funny, the bulletins are almost like a newswire. So you click on the bulletins and they're updated every second. You know, everybody's posting bulletins. It's like a renegade newswire. It really is. And that's exactly how a lot of the stuff about Ron Paul polls and stuff like gets out. I actually have it in my bookmarks in my news section, the bulletin section. But anyway, this new truth movie, quote unquote, called Zeitgeist, which incorporates all of the 9/11 stuff and everything else, but it also uses the this whole idea about Jesus was just like all these other. The idea of Jesus was copied from, you know, name your 80 different deities, which is, like I said, not true. I mean, I can show it to you that it's BS totally. But anyway, so I was like, that's it, because everybody was posting it back on these, all these 9/11 truthers and patriot movement types were just posting it. Look at this movie, it's the best movie ever. And so I tried to hit him where it hurts and just sent out some stuff. And after, when I finally did get me to write this, which was that, and so what hitting these people where it hurts was there's serious factual errors in this movie, you know, and regardless of, I know you guys want this, but it's factually inaccurate, and here's how. Because if it was Loose Change or any of these other movies about 9/11, heaven forbid they have a slight factual inaccuracy in there, everybody would freak out and it'd be all over the thing, nobody would get the movie, oh my gosh, there's a factual inaccuracy, we got to do something about it. And that, so, I mean, it's the same principle there, isn't it? Except it's talking about Jesus. So, you know, do facts not count there? Anyway. Okay, guys, stick with me here. I think this is going to be the meat of this show, and I want to try to do this in some sort of way that makes sense. I don't know how to do it. So I'll just start from what's on my mind the most right now. And that is, I got an email from David Flynn. Actually, I emailed him regarding something else, and he emailed me back saying that he had been looking into some stuff and that he thought that he was seeing some stuff that this July 4th, I don't know how many days away that is, but he was seeing all this stuff about this. Let me just read what he wrote here. On another topic, I've been looking into the astronomical significance of July 4th. There seems to be a pervading theme of division and apocalyptic marking points throughout the holiday. I plan to do a write-up for Tom Horn on his Raiders news updates this week. July 4th this year may be a very significant event with regard to the setting up of the New World Order. UFOs and world upheaval. Sounds wild, I know, but wait till you see the data. David Flynn is a numbers nut. He just looks at everything from numbers in a perspective. Anyway, so he did a lot of good work on a lot of different things. In fact, one of the things on the looking into, could July 4th have any significance? And you start to see just a few things that make a little bit of sense. Number one, the Roswell event happened on and around July 4th. Roswell obviously had some interesting geometric and numerological significance. It was on July 4th. It was on the 33rd degree parallel longitude. Roswell also, the crash sites anyway, were also on the 33rd degree parallel or 33rd degree latitude as well. The three different crash sites, or the supposed three different crash sites, he goes through this in one presentation I've seen where he talks about the individual crash sites and how they're actually on different types of the 33rd parallels. But you know, there's circumstantial evidence all over the place that this July 4th has a lot to do with a lot of different things. Hell, Independence Day, the movie. I mean, of course, as we know, a lot of movies and the people at the top are using these things for different things. I think they have a sick little twisted thing of telling us things. It's kind of part of their religion to kind of let us know about stuff I don't understand. I always anticipated this coming, you know, that they would be using aliens at some point because it fits so well with gaining the patriotism for a one world government, you know, that won't exist without it. It simply is impossible to get to the one world religion without it, in my opinion. And all the top conspiracy type researchers are going to tell you that, you know, at the top levels, our government has made a deal with alien entities traded in human flesh, and they get to abduct humans and so on and so forth for in exchange for technology. I just think that it's if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it type thing. I mean, the Watchers have been doing this with Gnosis since Babel. I mean, that's their whole MO the whole time. They'd trade Gnosis technology, sacred geometry, whatever they knew about being 10-dimensional beings, you know, they could whisper into our ears in exchange for whatever the hell they wanted, and we'd do it because we're prideful animals. When you look at the alien abductions, that they're not only doing trauma-based mind control, torture in a lot of cases. Yeah, okay, they seem to be doing some like reproductive work, but as Joe Jordan pointed out, some of that reproductive work, he believed, after dealing with 250 some odd cases of alien abductions, that they were, you know, a lot of cases just using the idea that they had children from these things as a ruse to control the women or whatever, and the men, to believe that they have children that are aliens, and so it kind of helps control them in other ways. But either way you look at it, even if you looked at it as these things were actually doing real reproductive work to get into our line, you know, for whatever reason, these things are evil. I mean, even the very first accounts we had from Whitley Strieber was calling it, you know, demonic. I mean, there's no other way that these abductees describe these things as just pure evil. In the same way, you know, the sleep paralysis is the reoccurring theme, is that whatever the facade that they manifest beside the bed, the feeling of malevolent evil is always there. I mean, that's why they have trouble going to their doctors and being like, it's evil, you know. And here's the smoking gun that I mentioned earlier with Joe Jordan, and this also applies to sleep paralysis, and I think that there's a connection to be made here that Joe Jordan, this humble guy from Florida, has the smoking gun of all this. He'll actually be at a Roswell conference this July 7th in Roswell with the big alien conference, which could end up being extremely significant if July 4th ends up being something concerning that. But Joe Jordan is the smoking gun, mark my words. This is a guy who has on record plenty of cases of people that have stopped sleep paralysis and alien abductions by saying the name Yeshua, or they say Jesus. They can say whatever, they can think it, you know, but whenever these things come calling, they say it, and they get mad, and it ends. Now, of course, I've heard, and since doing this, and since trying to post this around to people and trying to warn people, I've heard a lot of different arguments against that. Number one, that they say, well, you know, if people want to believe that, it's just whatever people positively believe. It could be Mickey Mouse or the Smurfs or Buddha or Muhammad or whatever. And, it's because people believe that it works, the reason it works because they're hallucinations, you know, the alien abductions, and especially the sleep paralysis. If you're having sleep paralysis, it's exactly the same MO as alien abductions. But my initial retort to that is, show me the data on that. Show me the data. Joe Jordan's got 250 people, Christian, non-Christian, Buddhist, occult people, that say it's ended their abduction, and he's documented it. As a MUFON researcher, he's very particular about reproducible evidence. So here we have all this documentation saying that the name of Jesus stops it. Let's see the other data, you know? But here's the deal. These people didn't believe in Jesus. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they just remembered, you know, their mom saying that they should call on the name of Jesus if they get in trouble with their grandma. They didn't believe it. In a lot of cases, these people were deeply steeped in the occult and other different things. They weren't believers. They weren't Christians already. And it stopped him. And that's what made him become a Christian, because they were like, you know, this name has a power over these things. And when you read the testimonies of these people, like on AACCOA.org, that's Alien Abduction Crisis Centers of America.org, if you read through the testimonies of these people, you'll find very quickly that they wanted this to end any way possible. They didn't believe this was hallucinations. In the same way people having sleep paralysis go to their doctors and their doctors are telling them that it's a hallucination. But these people are like, no, man, I was pretty awake and there was really something in my room and it was evil. That's all I know. You know, it ended, but sleep paralysis has happened all over the world. They have names for it in every country, and every country has a name about sleep paralysis that deals with evil jumping on your chest or demons or, you know, whatever. They all have a spiritual explanation for it, except for in America, where it's obviously a hallucination. And here's the smoking gun about this. Sleep paralysis is a great segue for this, because people that have sleep paralysis want out of it. In any way that you can get them out of it, they want out. They don't care. Whatever, they'll try anything, you know. And there's and if it was so easy of calling on Buddha or any other thing that you believe in, there would be writings about that. There would be websites. There would be some sort of explanation, some how to end sleep paralysis situation. But instead, you find a amazing number of people searching for something, because they're getting tortured. They're getting all kinds of horrible things are happening. They're scared to death of sleep paralysis and everything else. They want it to end, and nobody is offering them a solution except for Joe Jordan. And these people on this website are 100% success rate. You know, even if they don't, to end the abductions or the sleep paralysis episodes indefinitely, you end up having to close the doors, as he puts it, to actually become a good person and a good Christian and to repent from the evil and all this other stuff. But you can end every individual abduction and every individual sleep paralysis episode by calling on the name and authority of Jesus. It's just the rules. We now have the authority as human beings to over all evil. I mean, everything. Everything is subservient to this name. And that is something that evil will tell you everything that you want to know, as long as you don't know that. Because that's the one thing that can really hurt him. You know? And so that's why you have, at this stage in the game, when we're so close to upheaval, madness, death in the streets, everything is going to go crazy very, very, very soon. As long as that, so they can tell you about everything. They can take the masks off and tell you one thing or another. As long as you don't believe that you have the authority and that Jesus was God. That's why I say that Deagle has to be a false prophet. Even though he is dead on right about everything, and he seems right, and he seems totally... And look, I don't know that he is evil. I think that he possibly could just be have a lot of pride in his knowledge, because he is a brilliant man, apparently. And he is on par with the kind of information that a prophet would be giving, as far as warning people of what's coming in a way that nobody warns anybody I've seen yet of what's coming. It's absolutely astounding information. However, because it is, it also has the ability to get people to totally abandon what they thought about God, because when you see somebody blowing your mind like this, your immediate thought is, I wonder what this guy thinks about religion, because whatever he thinks about religion is, you know, probably right, because he's so right about everything else. It's that principle that has fooled us with these conspiracy researchers time and time again. And I think that it was odd that David Flynn used the term divisive when he said these aliens and everything, because I think that that's what's going to do it. And I realized that with this new Zeitgeist movie, and when I put out that information about how it's wrong, you know, this Jesus myth stuff is wrong, here's the evidence against it, I saw that otherwise, you know, people that were in the Patriot Truth Movement type people were very uncool with that. I mean, there's a serious about 50-50 divisiveness that's going to happen when aliens come. It's going to turn our numbers seriously down. And it's also going to serve all this stuff of making Christians seem so wrong and evil, and they'll be able to turn that the seemingly wrongness into evil. And people will have to realize, to be able to save this, that the information that they're telling you is what they want you to think. And that's what kills me about people that are just so sure that Christianity is meant to control us, and it's so obvious that they want us to think this. And, you know, it's just the simple question of what are they teaching us at the highest universities or at the lowest school, kindergarten schools? You know that they're controlled, and you know what they're teaching, and it's not. I mean, if they wanted you to believe in God and Christianity, wouldn't they be teaching something that wouldn't they be teaching that aspect of it? And your answer to that would probably be, well, yeah, but evolution is just so obviously, you know, right. They couldn't get away with that because it's so, I mean, it, but it's not. I mean, it's serious leaps of faith all over, from the very beginning to the very end, of macro to micro evolution has problems in it. It's anything but hard science. So, and if you look at the origins of that with Mr. Huxley and everything else and how it all came to be, we're looking at, you know, something they're obviously not wanting us to believe, you know, that. So it's just, I don't see how you could say that the establishment, the New World Order, wants us to all be Christians when they're very actively trying to not make us Christians. So anyway, when the TV starts telling you that, you know, well, those Christians sure do have egg on their face with this aliens thing, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm just saying, they're going to play up the let's get mad at Christians, because behind the surface, I've noticed with, and you'll see if in the link that I'm going to give you of the Above Top Secret Forum, the venom that is available there. I'm telling you what, these people are ready to fight, and they really have strong beliefs based on faith regarding this, and it's going to be turned really, really divisive in the truth movement, as it were. But the reason I feel like there's just this mountain in front of me, this unscalable mountain, and I just feel so helpless, is because there's huge monoliths of conspiracy researchers that are gaining popularity that all have the same agenda, and that is to prove all this stuff and then take you away using a lot of the untrue stuff. Like I mentioned, I still to this day, most you can catch your Tessarians, your Freemans, your David Icke's, you know, Dr. Deagle's, all of them on this Christ Mither BS. I mean, from that church, from the Tim Leaden book, that's not substantiated. And most of them have been spitting that for so long, they believe it's true when they forgot to do any research about it. I'm telling you, it's not that issue alone, but it's other things like it that are so compelling that it's swallowing up the whole movement. But especially important is the Sitchin thing, because I the reason I've always picked on Sitchin is because without him, this is why the Illuminati, I think he was part of the Illuminati, my personal opinion, because I believe Arizona Wilder, although I think she has plenty of sleeping programs, as it were, but I believe her when she said she saw Sitchin at the rituals and he was there to, be a disinformer and all this stuff. And she's no friend to Christians either. I mean, she just said that because it was true. She wasn't doing it to prove my view, I can tell you that. Anyway, you know, look at the interview for yourself, the one with David Icke. She says it clear as day. But, you know, I think that his theory, although, you know, as I said earlier, thoroughly debunked and able to see that he has never produced credentials of what he's, you know, his academic credentials, and let alone he's obviously has serious flaws in just basic grammar, according to Dr. Michael Heiser, SitchinIsWrong.com, and all this other stuff. And I pick on it because if Sitchin is wrong, then these guys are wrong.
at least on what they take from Sitchin about. Now, look, Nibiru, this new planet, you have to look at what David Flynn says about this. Now, I think that, again, I think Sitchin being at these rituals or whatever knew the plan. Whoever goes to these things, you know, the Pindar, as it were, or whatever, is getting, as Dr. Deagle says, he's directly under Luciferian, you know, he's the highest on Earth. I mean, they're getting their info from the top, as it were. And I think that, so he knows what Lucifer knows, or at least he's getting told what to do according to what the devil knows. And I think as this information gets passed down, it's able to say, this is what happened, this is how we're going to spin it, go. And I think the reason that NASA keeps a lot of the Mars stuff at bay is twofold. One, I always say it twofold. It doesn't really make sense in that context, but there's two reasons. Number one, I think that if you really saw the Cydonia area and realized what it was for what it was, it proves more the Bible than it does prove Sitchin. And so a lot of it had to be held and waited until it could be properly used. And obviously there's the problem of we're not ready for all these developments and everything else. But I think until they can manipulate the information, it proves more that God was in control of this whole thing from the beginning than it does the other. I think Nibiru is true. I believe that it may be actually coming around again and going to cause serious upheaval, and maybe that is part of the 25,000 year cycle of precession and all that stuff. However, if you look at what David Flynn says about the Mars-Earth connection, what Mars is, what it was used for, and what Nibiru indeed was, when Nibiru comes around, we might be seeing some reinforcements to this whole thing. Evil reinforcements, and I don't think it's going to be too cool. Check out what David Flynn's paper on that. Just Google David Flynn, Mars, and Lucifer. I think it'll bring you to his paper. It'll be the Watcher site. Look, I think that you look deep and you scratch the surface and you see that we have been given technology that was not supposed to be, you know, ours, and by these aliens, Watchers, Nephilim. I think all that stuff happened. I think it's happening. And I think that they abduct people, do things with them. I think that they, you know, this is all real. It's just the mask is different. The facade, it's true. I mean, it's just another facade of the same people. And I think that they have done a lot of different ways to manifest here in this dimension. And again, I mean, if you're a 10-dimensional being looking at us from a 3-dimensional world and you get in here, you have a lot of stuff to tell us regarding what's going on in 10 dimensions. I mean, if we're not harnessing the power of the ether or whatever, you know, Tesla knew about, I mean, it might be so obvious from 10 dimensions. From 10 dimensions, you can be like, you know, you guys could do this and do that and that and that and that. You know, you'd have a lot of information to impart. I know I'm getting way off the subject here, but I just want to go ahead and tell you guys how important it is to be a part of those who believe that the aliens are the Nephilim of Genesis 6. If they're not, and that somehow they have been getting into our leaders, maybe through half of the mind control thing, I think that they, when they open up the compartments to stick one of their guys in the multiple personalities or DID, dissociative identity disorder, the people involved in that, I think it's all very tightly wrapped up in our government. It's important that those of us who believe this, and I'm going to give you some links to those people out there that want to know more about this type of thing. I'll give you some ideas of places to look. First, one of the most important things that's happened recently is what a guy named Guy Malone has done with the Ancient of Days conference. And he brought together the people in this view, and it is amazing. Finally, I was like, oh, it's like home. People, the scholars that were doing the real research into this view of aliens, and it was just so great to see Christians admitting that they were aliens and having scholarly debates about how they fit in and in accordance with everything else. And it is, and in fact, discussing the prophetic implications, because it becomes very clear when looking at into this, that it's not just a rationalization, okay, we got to deal with this. This was something anticipated for a long time, even before this was, you know, an event that needed to be quote-unquote dealt with. I mean, this was the necessary catalyst that had to happen. There had to be something on par with the phenomena of aliens in order to make biblical prophecy work. It wasn't that we had to wrap biblical prophecy around aliens. You know, we needed aliens to make biblical prophecy work in a very real sense. And so a lot of this stuff is, that's why I keep saying it. So it's so wonderful to see the cutting edge of this. And I'm dismayed to see it be such a small view presently, but it's growing. It's truth, and you can see it for truth. Go to Ancient of Days. Type in one word, Ancient of Days, into Google Video and start watching all the Ancient of Days conference stuff. You will be just, it's a plethora of information there. And again, download that stuff if you can through keepvid.com. That is keepvid.com. You can download stuff from Google Video there. Download it while we still have the internet. Also, some other great places to go for information. Other podcasts. What's his name of this one? PID Radio. It's called peeringintothedarkness.com, I think. peeringintothedarkness.com with Sharon and Derek, and they have tons of archives, and they're great. They're right on board with all this stuff. I found them while trying to do show prep for interviewing Patrick Heron, who was a great interview, and he was just a great guy, but they had interviewed him, and it was the first time I was like, oh my gosh, these people are doing the same thing, except they like interview Mike Heiser and David Flynn and all the super, you know, they've interviewed everybody in the field, so it's really cool. Also, some other ones, some that I just found, let's see here, Raiders News Network. I just found that, and I think that's terrific. That sounds like it's just right up my alley with all this stuff. So Raiders News Network, PID Radio, ancientofdays.net, and through SitchinIsWrong.com, you can go to Dr. Michael Heiser's other websites, but he is definitely one of the best resources for the information. He is a terrific scholar on this, and he is basically what Sitchin claims to be. So I would definitely check him out. Okay, I would take a break, but this is just too important. I want to get right back into it. Now, regardless of if something happens this July 4th, which I haven't seen the data on it, I would, when you get this, check with Raiders News Network, see if Mr. Flynn's actually put the article that he was going to write on there yet, to see how feasible that sounds. I haven't seen it yet. But irregardless, I have been very prompted to feel that something is about to happen real big. And here's a few reasons why we need to be ready to get the hell out of your house, get into some safe place, the woods, have some food ready, have a water filter, have a plan. I mean, get it done now. And there is a lot of, I don't know, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there that will get you thinking about how, you know, this could be any minute. But I know a lot of you guys do, but it's really important to really think about going and selling what you don't need. I actually got a garage sale coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if anybody wants to buy some of my crap. But I'm selling everything. I don't need anything of this world anymore. I mean, I need certain things, but, you know, I'm getting rid of everything. I don't need anything. I'm trying to take all that money, and I'm just going to try to buy some stuff for survival, you know, some food, some basic stuff to be able to survive for 2 weeks, and to buy some stuff for some other people that, you know, wouldn't do it if, you know, unless I did it for them. So that's what I'm doing. I'm just going to try to get everybody prepared, because, and I've kind of set July 4th as my deadline. I don't know. Maybe it'll just come and go. It doesn't really matter. In my head, it's a deadline, and I'm going to have everything done by then. And I encourage everybody to, if not by then, by sometime real soon, have a game plan. Talk with your
you know, loved ones about what to do, where you would meet if you if you're separated. Because here's a few scenarios. I mean, the cell phones won't work, either by them turning them off to for their own purposes, which they seem to have done even at the Virginia Tech shooting. But they also, you know, I mean, like in September 11th, even in Tennessee, cell phones didn't work because people were using them, or maybe they did have them turned off. I don't know. But you have to anticipate maybe cell phones not working and have a plan, just a plan A, plan B, plan C. And here's something else. If it's something about that will immediately instigate martial law, then you have to, if you don't run right when it happens, you may not ever have a chance to run again. Like, for example, if it's a viral outbreak, especially a terrorist viral outbreak, if they say a terrorist has released so-and-so on so-and-so, then that does two things. Number one, it causes house arrest, and everybody not on house arrest will get shot on sight. It starts martial law. It would probably start martial law anyway. But the thing about martial law is it means no rules. And there is a red and a blue list, and probably a lot of the guys and gals that listen to the show might be on a little bit higher than, you know, the green list, let's just say. Not that anybody does anything illegal as far as under the Constitution. It's just that the Constitution no longer applies, so it's illegal to be a normal, happy, healthy, liberty-loving American. And they round up the red list people, and you know, hours before they even declare martial law. That's assuming they know when martial law is going to happen. And, you know, they're just going to use the opportunity to round up dissenters, basically. And certain levels of dissenters, I don't know. But if you don't get out of your house the minute that you hear about it, then they're going to shut down the roads, and they're going to have house arrest, basically, these ultra, you know, stay in your house type things. And there's going to be a lot of death. There's going to be, if it's anything like, you know, some of this stuff I've been hearing about, then it's going to kill billions of people, these viruses. And the people that don't die aren't going to die anyway. They're going to be naturally immune to it. But those are the people left will be forcibly vaccinated. And whatever's in those vaccines is not going to be good. I mean, the nanotechnology that they have, the genealogical stuff that they're doing, I mean, they're changing who we are. And they're doing it on purpose with this genetically modified food and all these excitotoxins and all this stuff that they're doing to us very actively. So we can't get the if they ever mandate a vaccine in America, run your ass off. Do not take that vaccine, whatever you do. It's not going to be okay. Don't let them stick you with that needle. It's going to be of the utmost importance. I mean, you can feel it. I mean, if you know what they're doing with vaccines right now, God forsaken, if they got a chance to vaccinate everybody, man, stand back at what they'll put in that thing. I mean, anyhow, you see my point, that if you hear something that's a potential martial law thing, go somewhere first and survive that in that place for a while. Bring a radio, bring a shortwave radio with you so you can keep an update of whether it's cool to go back to your house or not. You know, but don't stay there first and wait to see what they're going to do. I mean, get out of there first. Leave your damn house. I'm sorry, but don't, because, you know, if you're in there too long and something happens. Now, I don't know if this is going to be what July 4th is about. I haven't seen anything. That might just be, hey, look, aliens are real. Let's go to work the next day. I don't know what the deal is, if anything. But, I'm totally okay with swallowing my pride about making a big deal about this and nothing happens on July 4th. I really don't want it to be this soon, because bad theological nonsense is going to go on if that's the case. And we need to be prepared for that to some extent. And so, you know, I think it's good to be on the record beforehand saying this kind of thing, that this has been anticipated for a while, because, you know, otherwise it's just going to seem like backpedaling and, you know, Christians are just trying to come up with some rationalization when it's not. It's just, it's simply anticipated. But anyway. Okay, so anyway, I encourage everybody to seriously go get some stuff that they need. Get some camping gear, maybe you know, something to cook some food, some of that propane stoves, and just simple food. Get food that's not, you know, we have a hard enough time going to a grocery store and finding food that's not going to kill you, and I mean that so literally. So spend some time getting some food together and sell some stuff if you have to get the money to do it. Don't wait. Jobs aren't important. Nothing is important. TV is not important. Everything is not important. Look around your house. All this stuff, this worldly crap that is going to mean nothing if there's going to be death everywhere. I mean, and you're going to be on the run. What do you need? Just start thinking of those kind of things. And here's a good thing that I think is relevant. You know, in the Bible there is, I'm so bad about quoting things, but it's Jehoshaphat, I think, who was the king of Israel, and everything was cool, and God was totally cool with him and everything, and he was a good guy, and all of a sudden, you know, and he was blessed, and the whole, you know, it wasn't a big kingdom at the time, but everything was cool. And then all of a sudden there was these huge armies that had got together to mass around them and everything. And they were going to totally take them over. And they were massing on the borders and everything. And he basically held a prayer meeting and got everybody in the tribes together. And they sat there and they prayed to God. And they said, basically, we don't have any answer for this. We don't have a contingency plan. We have nothing, but you are a God. I mean, they're basically saying you can do anything. You're God. You have, you know, this supernatural might. You created the world. You created us. You told us to be here. You know, so they basically threw up their hands and said, we are totally incapable. We have to trust in you. And I think that if you find yourself in that position where you are screwed, and you don't have a backup plan, and that's okay too. I think that gives God an opportunity to really show you that he is who he says he is, and that he's really all that you truly need. But you do got to pray. That's kind of the whole thing there. We got to pray. If we don't start figuring out how to pray all the time and really just delighting in it, not just when you need things, but when you're having a good time, when you see a beautiful day, when you see a bad day, when you need things, when you don't need things, it becomes fun. It becomes a delight, as I said, to do. But I like to use the analogy. He just likes you to pray because it seems like he's uploading and downloading things into you when you make that connection. When you, you know, log on, he is downloading the desires of your heart and the will, his will, especially if you ask to do his will. That's a hard thing to do because you don't really know that that's what you want. But it really is just, you know, it all centers around Jesus. It all centers around God becoming man. And it's like what was hidden in the genealogy in Genesis when it goes through the genealogy of Adam and Seth and Methuselah and all the just seemingly boring part of the Bible. When you translate those names to the meanings of those names, and then you read the genealogy from the way down, it's a prophecy about the Christ. It's a prophecy about what Jesus will do when he comes. And it reads like this: man has appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring the despairing comfort. And that's just the way God set it up. You don't have to understand the sacrifice that he had to make to buy us back from the devil. You can understand it. It's something that's hidden, in a sense, from people, the wise men of today. But it's not hard to understand once he gives it to you. But he's the one that's got to give you the knowledge. He's just basically saying the whole eternity is yours. You as a man have total authority over evil.
You have gifts that you will never, you can't possibly comprehend right now. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has comprehended what God has in store for those who love him. All you have to do is make a leap of faith and say that you believe that this Jesus was indeed the Son of God, was indeed God, and that you believe that he did die and he rose from the dead. And that, you know, that's your pardon for the sins, and that's how you earn your birthright. You know, at the end of all this, there's going to be a lot of unclaimed birthrights just sitting over there, and it's going to be a shame for all those people who never claimed it, that was just there to ask and to realize that they didn't have, you know, there was nothing that they could do. They couldn't earn it. All they could do was receive it as a gift. He didn't intend for you to earn it. And that's how the story of the Bible. That's the reason it had to go through everything that it did from the beginning to the end. Okay. Well, I preached again. Sorry about that. But anyway, most of it wasn't preaching. I think I got some information in there too. So anyway, I guess that means we're at the end of another episode of Nowhere to Run. I know I said I was going to put some other stuff on the wire there, the feed during the middle of the week. I just didn't have time last week. I probably won't again this week, but I hope to. Watch out for July 4th, people. Get your stuff ready to run. Because, yeah, I know there's nowhere to run, but, you know, at least there is somewhere to temporarily hide out if you need to. Get yourself a radio, crank radio, get yourself something to cook and some food and some clean water and have it in your trunk. Have it ready to rock. And, yeah, check out my girlfriend. Well, she didn't finish it, but she started the first installment I was telling you about the Women in the Bible series and how there's a lot of different crazy, you know, misconceptions and so on. So check out her blog at tastethesea.wordpress.com. I think that's it. Yeah, that's tastethesea, S-E-A, .wordpress.com. Tastethesea.wordpress.com. And she's got lots of crazy good insights too. So check that out. I think that's about it. Take it easy, guys. I'll see you next week. Look for David Flynn's paper on this thing on the Raiders News Network. And email me if you have any problems with what I've got to say. Email me for anything at all. My email address is chris@conspiracyclose.com. That's Chris, C-H-R-I-S, @conspiracyclose.com. Take it easy.
This is Revere Radio Network, Tampa.